So, good morning to everybody. Hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving. Ate lots of turkey. I definitely did. One cool thing about Thanksgiving is that calories actually do not count because it's a holiday. So, next time, remember that. Plus, you know, everyone is bringing, like, stuff. There's probably a lot of people there, each bringing something. And you have to try it all. You can't be rude and not try it. So that's the reason why, you know, calories don't count. But, Buckeyes game yesterday. Who watched the Buckeyes game? Awesome. It was really rough first quarter. Terrible first quarter. Sorry for the Michigan fans out there. But it was really fun. So if you're a Buckeye fan, that was a great game. If you're a Michigan fan, you're just getting used to it at this point. It's just a way of life. So I'm just kidding. So anyways, all right, so yeah, like Mike said, most of you know me. My name is Matt Hartman. I'm the still somewhat new family life director here at Old Fort. Started back in July, and it's just absolutely zoomed by so far, but in a good way. Part of that is being a new father, and Beck and I are just realizing that being new parents takes a lot out of you. Millie is actually 6 months today, so happy half birthday to her. But if you're parents, you know what I'm talking about. Life just goes fast, you know, when you have kids. But like I said before, I'll say it again. We love being here. It just definitely feels like home to us. We know how kind and loving everyone is here at Old Fort Church. Especially, so many of you have just spoiled us with gifts our first weekend, and that was just incredible. We were overwhelmed. So thank you again for that. Getting to know the kids too has been awesome. It's just been really fun. Things have been going really well with our three youth ministries. We have the Fort, Detour, and Commotion. And apparently it hasn't been too bad yet because as a new youth pastor, I haven't pulled out all my hair trying to keep track of all the kids. But the kids are, I mean, they're great. They're awesome. Except for those Quinter kids. They are nothing but trouble since we got here. Rotten. I'm just kidding. No, they're awesome. Beck and I have actually gotten to know them really well over the past few months, and they've just been awesome, and getting to know the Quinters has been great too, just really sweet and really, really fun. And then also getting to know you all has been great too. Still felt, you know, obviously kind of new coming back here, so getting to know you guys has been really, really good. So thanks again. So today we're going to kind of continue with what we've been going over in this season of Do All You Can. This is actually going to be the final message for this series. And then we're going to be moving into the Christmas season starting next week. So I'd like to talk today about how we can relate to others and how we can do that wisely. And the key word there is wisely, because anyone can have an interaction or a relationship with someone, but how can we live out those relationships wisely? The truth is, every day we all encounter different types of people. And depending on your job, maybe you interact with a lot of different people, or maybe just a few. But regardless, we all interact with someone in our daily routine, whether we like it or not. And I know some of you are thinking, no one better do any interacting with me until I've had my morning coffee. And I'm the same way. If I don't get my coffee, I'm like the Walking Dead. I think there's a coffee mug in the kitchen, the church kitchen, that says, "I drink coffee for your protection." And I think that's true for some of us. Mark and Mike actually can't stand coffee. They don't drink it at all. I'm like, how do you guys live? What's wrong with you? I thought everybody drank coffee. But I know it's not for everybody. I used to work at Starbucks for a few years in Columbus, so definitely a big coffee fan. Hint, hint, Christmas is coming up, so if anybody wants to get me coffee, you can. But if you're not a coffee drinker, that's okay. It's not important. What is important, though, is that we all take our relationships seriously, because the fact is a lot of problems can actually happen in life due to our personality conflicts. When we are not getting along with others, life is not that fun, right? Even if it's just that one person that we've been feuding with for however long, it can ruin our day, our week, month, year, whatever. Even if you have lots of money and great opportunities, life can be miserable if we can't get along. Sometimes we see that with, you know, famous people or celebrities. Maybe we think they have it all together because of their fame and fortune. Chances are they're probably not getting along with somebody too. I want to take a look at what James has to say about how we can relate wisely to others. He talks about this in chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. I'm going to read it for us here first. So if you have a Bible, go ahead and open it there to James chapter 3. I know we've been in James 2, so we're going to kind of skip ahead one more chapter. Or if you have the Bible app, if not, it'll be on the screen. I'll read it for us. It says, "If you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will discover evil of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness." That last verse is the one I want to go ahead and look at first here in verse 18. It says, "And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness." So like I said, depending on your job, family situation, we all interact with a different circle of people every day. It's either a big circle or a small one. And each of those relationships, we are either a peacemaker or we're not. But the point is, we all have the opportunity to be peacemakers, where you can plant seeds of honesty, peace, mercy, sincerity. But if we aren't careful, we can actually plant bad seeds, seeds of envy, selfishness, jealousy, insecurity, or distrust. Verse 14 talks about these types of poor characteristics, which we will get to in a minute. But first, when I think of bitter jealousy and selfish ambition, I try to think of a fictional character that I could pick on for this illustration. And there's actually a lot when you look at movies, TV, whatever. But the person that came to mind was from the movie Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, Veruca Salt, that spoiled brat British girl that always tried to get her way, the girl that was like, "Daddy, I want a golden goose now." And it was just so annoying. But there's that scene in the movie, you know, where she's with the geese that lay the golden eggs. And she does her singing number about being spoiled. And she stands on the golden egg tester. And then it says that she's bad, and she falls down the chute, and Willy Wonka says she was a bad egg. And her dad says, "Where's she going?" And Wonka says, matter-of-factly, "To the furnace." Like, he doesn't care. You know, she's going to be burned. Obviously, I don't know if that happened or not. But there's a lot of spiritual stuff that happens in that movie. But yeah, I love that movie. One of my favorites. We'll come back to it in a second. But you might be thinking, "I'm not a spoiled brat like Veruca Salt. I try to plant good seeds." Well, we may think we plant good seeds, but sometimes the bad ones can come out too. So how do we get rid of these bad seeds and keep the good ones? The answer that James gives us is actually just simply in one word, and that's wisdom. In this case, he actually means heavenly wisdom, wisdom that comes from God, the kind that God wants us to have, kind of like a supernatural wisdom, really. We see in verse 13, James says, "Using this gift, you can live wisely towards others." So wisdom is a lifestyle. Verse 13, "If you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom." So James is saying, if you know God, let me see it in your lifestyle. We as people first need to learn this wisdom and live honorably, and then use that wisdom in how we act towards other people. And this type of wisdom actually has nothing to do with your intelligence or your IQ or where you went to school. It's more like practical insight. Because on one hand, you can have, you know, a Harvard professor who's really intelligent, has no meaningful relationships in their life. But on the other hand, you can have someone who maybe barely made it through school, and they have more friends than they can count. Going back to Willy Wonka, look at Veruca. She was probably filthy rich, but she had a terrible relationship with her father because it was all based on what he could buy her. Obviously, they could never get past that. And she was as selfish as they get, the me, 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 now, now, now. But on the other hand, you have good old Charlie Bucket, who was living at the poverty level, but his grandpa, Grandpa Joe, was his best friend, and he had a family that loves him. And, I mean, that's really what matters most. And then at the end of this movie, what happened? I'm going to give away the ending. It's been out for 50 years, so if you haven't seen it, that's your fault. So at the end of the movie, Wonka was mad because he thought there was no honest kids out there, and they were all rotten, like the ones he had met that day. But on his way out, quiet and reserved Charlie Bucket gave Wonka the everlasting gobstopper, showing that he wasn't going to share his secrets with Slugworth, who actually was the fake spy that Wonka set up. So Wonka was so happy that there was one honest kid in the group that he gave Charlie the entire factory. And they get in that elevator thing, and they, you know, burst through that glass, and they go somehow spin above the town or wherever that was. But I think that was really cool that, you know, the one good kid who is actually the poor kid, Charlie, had been planting good seeds his entire life, and he planted one good seed in Willy Wonka, and it paid off in a huge way. Jesus said, "The last shall be first, and the first shall be last." See, I told you there's a lot of spiritual stuff in that movie. It's one of my favorites, if I haven't mentioned that yet. So Charlie, he actually sowed a good seed and reaped a harvest of righteousness. But sometimes we can confuse heavenly wisdom with worldly wisdom. And if you do that, sometimes that can cause problems. So lack of wisdom causes problems. James mentions this in the next couple of verses, what can happen. It says in verse 14, "But if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic." So James is saying in these two verses, this is not good wisdom. Are you seeking this kind of wisdom? If you are, you're doing it wrong. The sad thing is, a lot of successful, wealthy people in our culture use some of these tools to push their way to the top, motivated by envy and greed. They are seeking the world's wisdom. Now, there's nothing wrong with wanting to be successful, but we need to make sure we are doing that in a godly way, because it's pretty easy to get mixed up with the advice of those who define success by how much money you have, or how many sports cars you have, or homes you have, or companies you run, et cetera, et cetera. Sure, that's success in the world's eyes, but is that success in God's eyes? Selfishness and evil is actually the opposite of how God wants us to live. Newsflash. But James gives us hope in the next verse using a big but, and this is but with one T, not two. James says, "But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere." So this verse is kind of showing us the characteristics now of heavenly wisdom. It's a big verse, so we can break it down. First of all, if I'm wise, I won't compromise my integrity. If we have good integrity, it means we are both honest and pure. Pure means not corrupt, genuine. 1 John 3:3 talks about Jesus' character as pure. If you want someone to trust you, are you going to lie to them? Probably not. Would you ever lie to your boss, even if it was just a small lie? Hopefully not, because you need to build their trust and respect. Without that, you're probably looking for another job. Same goes for relationships in your family. You want people to trust you, because trust forms a special bond, unless that bond is broken with a lie or a series of lies. Have you guys ever heard of a trust fall before? When someone, you know, puts their arms out like this and there's someone behind them waiting to catch them, and you have to blindly just hope that when you lean back, they're going to catch you. Have you ever seen those videos go very wrong? There's that one where, like, the girl, she actually goes forward instead of backwards. And then there's the ones where they try to fall from, like, 5 feet and have, like, five people catch them and they all fall down. It's like, what the heck? So it just shows you that, you know, sometimes your friends can let you down. But regardless, without trust and integrity, it's hard to build any type of meaningful relationship. There are two main books of wisdom in the Bible, and they are here in James and also the book of Proverbs in the Old Testament. We'll be looking at Proverbs to help us understand what James is saying in this passage. Proverbs 10:9 says, "Whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but whoever takes crooked paths will be found out." So this person has nothing to fear when it comes to accusations. They don't say one thing to one group of people and another thing to another group of people and hope those people never meet each other. Someone once said, "No man has enough memory to be a habitual liar," meaning one day your lies are going to catch up with you and you won't be able to keep track of them all. But if you have integrity, you will have confidence in your relationships. If you are wise, you will not compromise your integrity. Next thing James talks about here is wisdom that is peace-loving. If I'm wise, I will not antagonize your anger. Are you someone who likes to poke the bear and stir it up just for fun? Sounds like fun, but what's the end result? Someone probably gets hurt. We live in a world and a time right now where it seems like everyone is angry about something. And it seems like everyone is just getting offended, and anger has kind of become a way of life for our culture every time you turn on the news. But wise people work towards maintaining harmony in their relationships. They adjust their speech so they don't hit those trigger words that can make some people go off. For some people, all you have to say is politician's name, and then boom, look out. Or, you know, there's other hot button topics, you know, that can make people upset when you talk about free speech or healthcare, gun control, or the NFL taking a knee in the national anthem. And I mean, the list goes on and on. So now that I've made everyone angry, Mike, if you can come back up. I'm just kidding. But that aside, if you know someone that gets upset by something that you say, it's probably a good idea to steer clear of it. It's a good idea to not pick fights. Proverbs 23 says this, "Any fool can start arguments. The wise thing to do is to stay out of them." That's good advice. The Apostle Paul echoes this in his letter to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 23 and 24. He says, "Do not have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels." He then goes on to say in verse 24, "A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach, and be patient with difficult people." That's the tough one, because some people are more difficult than others. I think we just kind of sang about that. But with God's help, you can control yourself and relate. Proverbs 14:29 says, "A wise man controls his temper. He knows that anger causes mistakes." When we act out of anger, who wins? No one. Not the person you told off, or a family member you hung up on, the pencil you snapped at work. You know, the list goes on and on. My hat during the first quarter of the Ohio State game took a beating. But seriously, true anger is dangerous, and it can ruin a relationship. It's just not worth it. Anger can consume the mind and lead to a terrible result, plain and simple. James says, avoid making someone angry and make peace with them instead. Next one is, if I'm wise, I won't minimize your feelings. So James says that wisdom is considerate. The definition of considerate is to be mindful of the feelings of others. This is something where sometimes common sense is not so common. Sometimes we as people make the costly mistake that if we don't feel the same way that someone else does, somehow their feelings become invalid or illogical. You don't have to believe the same thing as every person you meet, but you can at least try to understand what they're saying to you. Proverbs 15:4 says this, "Kind words bring life, but cruel words crush your spirit." Here's another example. Sometimes when someone is being vulnerable and pouring their heart out to you, we can easily say the wrong thing, even if we're trying to help. Relationships can be hard, but we can make them easier when we learn to cope with someone. Don't minimize someone's feelings and listen and be there for them instead. Next one is, if I'm wise, I won't criticize your decisions or suggestions. Are you willing to listen and learn, and do you try to do things your own way? James is telling us that wisdom is submissive. And the word submissive doesn't really mean submissive in this context. It really means reasonable. You're open to hearing someone out. It kind of goes with the last one that we just talked about. Can you be reasonable with others? Or do you say, you need to see it my way, or you can hit the road? Or how about this one? When I want your opinion, I'll give it to you. Which is, okay. So are you willing to hear the other side of the story, or do you let anger get the best of you? Don't criticize what someone else has to say. Hear them out. Maybe they'll say something that you haven't thought of before. Don't think that you know it all, because you probably don't. Ask for help. It's not a sign of weakness. It's actually just the opposite. It's a sign of strength. Proverbs 12:15 says this, "A fool thinks he needs no advice. A wise man listens to others." That's a good one. Back before the GPS was invented, men would try to pretend they knew where they were going in the car, even when they were lost, because they're too prideful to ask for directions. You know, the woman's always in the car, "Honey, ask for directions." "Ah, we're fine, we know where we're going, we're okay." I think that's how a lot of shows and movies started back in the day. You know, family gets lost because dad wouldn't ask for directions, crazy things start happening. But really, guys, if you hear something helpful, use it. If it's bad, just ignore it. No need to ridicule someone else. Same goes for me sharing with you now. If you like what I'm saying, use it. If you don't, find another church. I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. You don't have to like what I'm saying. Yes, you do. I'm joking. Finally, if I'm wise, I won't emphasize your mistakes. Can you show mercy to someone even if they've wronged you? Do you jump on people even if they've made a mistake? Have you brought up the past to someone who has already asked for forgiveness? That's a cruel one, because it can be never-ending. Proverbs 17:9 says, "Love forgets mistakes. Nagging about them can part even the best of friends." Same goes for spouses, which is why you hear this passage at a lot of weddings today, which is 1 Corinthians 13:4-5. You'll always hear, "Love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs." We don't have time to go into further about, you know, James' definition of wisdom and how Paul's definition of love really relate together, but you can see how those two things go hand in hand. I know that Mark recently brought up the sticks and stones analogy during this series. You know, the old saying, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me." My response to that is, depends on who the words are from and what the words are. Because, I mean, you can get hit with a stick and maybe it'll hurt for a day, but if you keep hearing your mistakes over and over again, I mean, that's brutal, especially if there's no end to it. The important thing is just to move on. If you can't forgive, you know, maybe that relationship needs to take a couple steps back. Let the past stay in the past. If you are wise, you won't emphasize someone's mistakes. We talked about how to get heavenly wisdom, but really, none of that makes sense without Jesus. Colossians 2:2-3 says this, "My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So wisdom is great, but we need Jesus' love to make everything work together. So Paul is saying in this passage, if you are seeking this heavenly wisdom that James is speaking of, you need to first make sure that Jesus is a part of your life. Because once Jesus is in your life, he can begin to change you in ways that you didn't think could happen. Since we're talking about wisdom, the wisest decision I've made was inviting Jesus into my heart and letting him take control. I can say, you know, I can't say it'll be easy at first, but once the Holy Spirit begins to work in your life, he will give you a wisdom and a peace that surpasses all understanding. And as you let the Holy Spirit work, you will see your relationships actually get better and better, and you will get wiser and wiser in your decisions. You will become a peacemaker and find out that you actually have an entire crop of people around you who love you. And that's how you know if you have related wisely to others. I'd like to invite the band to come back up and go ahead and close in prayer here for us. Thank you, God, for this day. I just thank you for this series. Thank you that you give us wisdom. And it's a wisdom that we need to be able to relate to others and to love them like you are calling us to do. God, I just ask that you would give us the patience that we need to with people in our life, even the difficult ones, and help us to love the ones who are hurting. God, I just want to thank you for coming into our hearts and changing us to know you. And God, if there's someone here today who has not yet made the decision for you yet, please let them know they can do that right now. So that if you're someone who wants to have your life changed by Jesus, sitting where you're at, God, you can say, Lord, I want you to be the Lord of my life. Please forgive me of my sin and make me new again. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Please invade my mind and help me to think your thoughts and say your words with my lips. God, please help me to be your hands and your feet. Direct my paths, God. Help me to love your people and to break my heart for what breaks yours. God, we are desperate for you, and we love you. And we ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. So if we can close in prayer. God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for everyone who is here. We just ask, God, that you would give us the wisdom that we need to get through this life, God. Give us the heavenly wisdom that we need. Help us to relate to others in a way that is satisfying and pleasing to you. God, help us to control our anger the next time we get frustrated. And God, I just ask for just a supernatural peace that would just come over us and be on us as we go through this life and as we think about relating to others. I just ask that you would just be with us. And we thank you for everything that you're doing. We thank you for this church. And we ask all this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.